friends. Chris Sauter, lead pastor at Neighborhood Church. We work hard at creating content every week that is life-giving and inspiring for people to live a full life. So we're inviting people who find this stream to be life-giving and encouraging to consider becoming a sustaining member at Neighborhood Church. That could be a one-time gift or to subscribe monthly. And you can do that at neighborhoodchurchmn.org. Thank you, friends, and enjoy the message. Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
Welcome to Neighborhood Church Christmas Eve service. We are in
Jaycook State Park. We are not at the Hub.
We are not the Hub. We are in Carlton, Minnesota. And I want everyone right now, right, to breathe in. You can watch us breathe in heaven, because this is heaven. This is it right here. Carlton, Minnesota, and even more, Jaycook. And I am Chris.
And I'm Nikki.
And we are the Sauters. And we're also some of the pastors.
Here at the church.
And mm-hmm. So thank you for spending Christmas Eve with us and Jaycook. We're going to have a really good... Now, since we're doing it remotely, right, and we're filming it during, you know, before, we really can do whatever we want. We can have any kind of Christmas special.
We could.
We could dance. We could sing.
Holy night.
We could do
awkward lunges.
Awkward lunges, Nikki's favorite thing. Or we could just have like a killer Christmas service. We're going to have some carols. Mm-hmm. You get the world's best Christmas message of your life. You're welcome. Mm-hmm. But we really do hope that you have a good time.
Yeah. And a couple of ways that you can follow along with us. You could check out our website. That's open and available anytime for you to check out at Neighborhood Church.
Amen.
.org. Yep. And for this service, when we do have some caroling here coming up in a bit, you can open up the program and sing along with. All of the lyrics will be there. We're doing all carols.
Where can you get the program? Where is this magical? I want access to this program.
Is it in the cloud?
It's not in the cloud. It's not in your hearts. It's, I was pointing to neighborhoodchurchmn.org. That's what you're supposed to say. It's online. You can find it there.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we want to give you a couple of other updates that are happening, too. So there won't be any church service live next Sunday. And this is just something that we do every year, even pre-COVID, just to create some space for you to gather and have church somewhere else. So you could even come here. You come to Jaycook and have the best time of your life doing not awkward lunches.
Or do them. Take a picture of you doing awkward lunches. Send it to us.
In the past, it was just to create some space for volunteers and leaders and just church people to take a moment to pause, whether you're traveling or not. I know a lot of us aren't at this time, but we just really want to honor that tradition that we have. It's just a rhythm of rest.
Yeah, so. And we want people to be able to celebrate being big fan of church, big fan of church. But that's not always where we can experience the divine or we can experience heaven. That can happen in your living room, in your garages, your driveways, wherever you're at. So we want you to be able to celebrate and experience something good and beautiful.
Right. So we won't be here next week. But the next thing that is happening is that we're going to be singing some carols. So go ahead and open up the program. Or if you don't want to, you just want to sit and enjoy the singing that's happening next. We had a lot of fun putting this music together for you. So that's coming up next. Enjoy.
Yeah, enjoy.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. You are speaking truth to power. You are laying down our swords, replanting every vineyard till a brand new wine is poured. Your gentle love is patient. You will never fade or tire. Your peace will make us one. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Our dear Savior.
Rabindranath Tagore. Light, my light, the world filling light, the eye kissing light, heart sweetening light. Ah, the light that dances, my darling, at the center of my life. The light strikes, my darling, the chords of my love. The sky opens, the wind runs wild, laughter passes over the earth. The butterflies spread their sails on the sea of light. Lilies and jasmines surge up on the crest of the waves of light. The light is shattered into gold on every cloud, my darling, and it scatters gems in profusion. Mirth spreads from leaf to leaf, my darling, and gladness without measure. The heaven's river has drowned its banks, and the flood of joy is abroad. I love this poem. This poem captures like what I feel when I'm in this space. I know I joke about it like, oh, it's heaven, Carl, blah, blah, but there's something about being in Jay Cook where I feel like I can experience a different kind of light. I can experience a different kind of rest. I can see and hear, and even just, I feel like I can exist differently. And I know all of you yelling at the camera right now or your screen saying, Chris, it's the same light in Esco. I get it. There's just something life-giving when I'm in this space. I'm more grounded. And this is like what we all need, right? Like we all need some sort of light. We need some space. We need of where we can experience something sacred, something holy. Because when you see light, it like demands attention. Like we love light. How many times have you been hit by your partner of saying, did you see that? Look at that moon. Look at that moon, right? Or when you have to pull over as you're driving because you see the sunrise. How many times have you regretted waking up early in the morning to see the sunrise, right? Maybe only a couple of times. I joke about it often, but in northern Minnesota, when it's like March or April and it gets over 35 degrees, we all act like we're back in spring break 1999 in Cabo, right? We're wearing our swimsuits, we're walking up in the middle of the streets, clinking glasses, yeah, right? Because when there's that new, we're all hungry for that new sun. We all want that warmth because it brings new life out of us. Even like artificial light can be life-giving. I remember being a boy and my grandpa lived on a busy street in Richfield. And so cars would drive by in the middle of the night. I would be having a hard time sleeping and I'd see those lights come across the wall. And to this day, when it happens in my bedroom, I shout up a special prayer to my grandpa, telling him I love him, because it reminds, it brings up something life-giving. And like when there is light, like I said, it demands attention. Like my kids love to turn on every light in the house, right? And of course, since I'm a middle-aged dad, I have to like, who turned all these lights on? And I start singing the song, every light in the house is on, right? And my kids love it. So they keep turning lights on, so they keep hearing me sing. But light that demands attention is all throughout the Bible. There's the burning bush with Moses that catches his attention. He moved towards it. There's, again, Moses coming down the mountain and he's glowing. There's this different kind of light. In Psalms, it says that the word of the Lord is a light unto my path. The Christmas story is full of light. There is, Zechariah is lighting incense in the temple when the angel appears to him. There's the shepherds and the angels light up the sky. There is the wise men where they're this light, the star pops out of nowhere, something is off, and they move towards it. When Mary experiences the angel, there's darkness and then there's light. And in the book of John, John uses the metaphor of light and day to convey something deeper, to get something even underneath the surface. And like John is the guy at the party. You show up and everyone's like doing one thing and there's one guy in the corner like drinking like something he bought like in Spain in like 1985 and he's wearing his clothes inside out and he's dancing to his own beat and people are like, hey John, like what are you doing? He's like, dude, I'm vibing, living my best life. So like that's John with the other gospels, right? He has his own thing, living his best life, but he's still in the same room with the other gospel. I know that I nailed that description, but John doesn't go over the birth story of Jesus because he's living his best life. But what he captures, what he says in the first four verses, is kind of setting up how he wants the readers, how he wants us to see the Christ through the rest of the story, right? And so he's like, we're happy for you that you covered the birth stories to the other gospel writers, but this is what John says. John says in chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
I love this. I love this verse. Because what John is essentially saying, he goes, hey, whatever you're going to be reading from here on out in this like crazy book that I have, right? Whatever you're reading, this is how I want you to see the Christ. That the Christ has always existed. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And all things that were made were created in Him and through the Christ. What that means, what John is trying to tell us, is that like every ounce of energy, every particle, every atom, in every single thing, as the universe continues to expand and go on, in every single space, the Christ, that life, that light, is in that space as well. That in us, like underneath our fingernails, in our stories, in our pain, in our running, in all of it, the beauty in the heart, the Christ already exists. It dwells, it makes itself its home in you and with you. And he uses the idea of that there is life, and in that life there is this light that shines everywhere. And there's this darkness and it shines, and even that darkness can't overwhelm it. And we love this idea of that things can be exposed for what they really are. And we celebrate other people of living their best life, being authentic, being their true self, and like you can do it. And we celebrate authenticity and honesty. And we love it, except when it comes to us. Then all of a sudden we're like, whoa, hold on a second. Because when people say, let me look at your search history, Chris, right? If someone goes, oh, let me see what you've been searching. Some people, for obvious reasons, right? And maybe they're like, oh, I don't want you to see that. But like, throw that aside. But even just like, I would feel some shame if you found out what I searched for in Google for, because what I didn't know. For example, someone tweeted something IRL and I had no idea what it was. I'm like, intimate raisin love. Is that what it is? Right? I had no clue. And so I'm like, I felt like it was like the type of shame. I'm like IRL. And it instantly confirms their alarm that went off somewhere of like, oh yeah, there's this middle-aged white guy who pretends to be a lot more cooler than he really is. Right? Like, why do we feel shame about not knowing something? Like, we have things that we have in our shadow side, that we put in our dark, that we hide. And we don't want people to know, because we think that if they know the real me, right, I'm going to be less than, I'm going to be kicked off, I'm going to be not loved, I'm not going to have value. Why do we do that? Right? Like, for another example, we bought a house 5 years ago and we had a party. I love throwing house parties. I miss them deeply. And once everyone was there, there was probably 20 people, my kid gets on top of the table. For some reason, he needed to yell from the table. He yelled. He goes, my parents paid $210,000 for this house. And everyone kind of laughed. And as soon as he said it, I felt all this shame come up. And I got him off the table. I said, hey, we don't tell people how much we pay a house for. And he asked me, like, every kid should, just the most honest, life-giving question. He goes, why not? It's like, oh yeah, right? It's public domain. You could Google how much anyone's paid for a house. But somewhere along the line, I was taught, or I caught, that we never talk about money, ever. You don't talk about debt. You don't talk about how much you make. You don't talk about how much you paid for a house. You don't talk about if you disagree about something with religion or politics. Why? Because somehow the belonging is that we all agree on something, that we can just like all go at the same speed and nothing ever changes. But why is there so much shame to that? Like, we do this all the time. Like, what if we really, like, I don't know, like, believed that the real us is something to be loved? What if like there's this idea of that there is this new way of being that we could all agree to live with the shadow side, with the stuff that we hide? Like, the Celtics, the Celtic spirituality, they had this tradition, they have this tradition of during the, winter solstice, like right about now, they believed that there was the king of the oaks, which represented light. And then there was the king of the holly, which represented like darkness or night. And around the winter solstice, they would have this battle, they'd have this war of where finally the king of the oak would defeat the king of the hollies, and the new sun, the light would begin slowly, day by day, pushing the darkness back and back so that there could be new life, there could be new discoveries, new hope. Other traditions celebrated around winter solstice of that they would celebrate and mourn the death of the sun, that this sun that brought them maybe beauty or brought them hardships, right? So they would mourn and grieve and also celebrate. And then they would wait in anticipation, maybe like Advent, right? Nice little throw in, of this new sun that was coming. where the days will get longer, because with the new sun, it's going to bring new ways of existing. It's going to bring new life. Just underneath the surface, there is things in life that is ready to be born, and it can only happen with this new sun. And I love this. I love hearing about other traditions and other sacred writings that expose this deep truth. Because when you experience anything that's true from anywhere, you can like hold on to that. And if the result of it is love, then it's true. Because this is the Christmas story. This is the same thing, that there is this new sun that is going to be bringing this new light. And in that new light, there's going to be new life, that there's things just underneath our surface that are waiting to be born. I read this poem and talked about how during the Christ story, in the body of that Middle Eastern teen, there was this light and there was this life, and how all of creation held its breath. And when they heard that baby cry, they exhaled with a new breath, because there's a new way of existing. There's a new way of being human. And I love this. I love the idea of a new sun. Like, what if we could like actually like do this? Because that new life, this is who Jesus is. Jesus didn't like get to the scene and say, "All right, I am the light. Bow down and worship me. I'm the light." He never did that. What Jesus did is that Jesus went around and exposed things. That light exposed the reality of what really is. He exposed of how they ordered the world. He exposed to the power systems. And he exposed to people in their life of what could be. Because like us, people in the Jesus story, they already had a shadow side. They already decided how they were excluded from access to this temple, to this kind of life, to these dreams. They already predetermined who they were going to be, right? No different from us. Because some people said, well, I'll never have access to that life because of my parents' last name, because of my bloodline, of where we came from, where we were born, already excludes me from this kind of life. There was people who felt like they had to say unclean when they showed up somewhere because someone else said, no, this is clean, and I'm going to tell you what clean is, so you, of course, are unclean. And they have that way of ordering, of making, saying, no, I'm better than you. And they bought into it. There's people who really believed that they were blind because something their grandpa did was so sinful that it caused this curse in them. And they had to walk through the whole life believing that. And when Jesus shows up on the scene, all Jesus does is reveal who they really are, who they've always been. Jesus goes from party to party, from lake to lake, from hillside to hillside, just reminding people that they've always been included, that light has always been in them. And if they could see it, if they could move towards it, they could respond to it, they could surrender to that deep love. This is why the people who engaged with Jesus, the people who found so much life, were the people who already knew. They already knew of their need. They're already aware of, I don't fit in this system. And that's when Jesus says, but there is this new way of being human. There is this new light. So instead of us carrying on this shame with this darkness in our life of hiding those things that we said, that were said to us, that we did or were done to us, like, what if instead, like Adam and Eve, right? The Genesis author in that story says Adam and Eve stood in front of each other naked and felt no shame. I use this all the time because at some point the author wants us to understand that when we think of naked, we automatically think of shame, right? And what does it mean to be naked? It's our full self. And somehow we bought along the way, because of our body, the real us, something about it is less than. It's shameful. It's disgusting. It's something to be hidden. But with Adam and Eve, to them, it was something to be celebrated. It was a gift. The fullness of oneself was something to be worshipped, appreciated. Like, what if we could, like, do that? Like, what if we could let that light shine? And the reality is that light is already shining. God knows all the good, bad, beautiful, hard, tragic things in my life. And the divine says, you're included, Chris. You always have been. But when we can see, instead of that shame and that darkness, we can see those scars that we try hiding from people. Instead, we can see those scars as something like, I can do hard things. And I can continue to do hard things. We can begin to look at the things that we treat as if it's some boulder sitting on us, keeping us held down. Instead, we could see it that it's something we give power to, of that word that coach said to you, that thing that maybe the parent didn't say to you. We can begin to participate in that healing. We can participate in that life of this good and beautiful God wanting good and beautiful things for us. Friends, where it starts is that we have to be willing to at least acknowledge that there's this light. And this is what I love about the Christmas story. Because again, Why is it that the shepherds and the wise men, right? What is it about them that move towards this God, that move towards this baby, that move towards this manger in Bethlehem? It was a light, something disrupted, something in the force was disrupted, and they saw it. And these were outsiders. These were nobodies. These were people, again, shunned to the side. And they move towards this light. And we too, friends, this light is all around us. It's in us. It's in the laughter of the Zoom call, right? I was gonna say at the table. Laughter in the Zoom call. It's in the receiving or giving a present. It's in holding that furry little friend. It's in going for that morning walk. It's in seeing the winter sun. So my prayer, friends, is that a lot of us probably need that light, especially now. It is within and it's available for you right now in this Christmas season, in this space. So how I'm going to end is I'm going to be reading a sacred, old, ancient prayer, something that has been read and prayed many, many of times. And as I read this, and you feel like you want that light, you want to step in to that light and receive that life, make this prayer your own. This is out of Numbers. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Thank you, friends. Merry Christmas. We're going to end with a couple more carols, and I hope that they're life-giving to you.